This podcast brought to you by Hope 1032.
On Hope 1032, joining us from Hungary, David Steele, the founder of Truth Planters. Thank you so much for your time today.
Hi, Laura. It's great to be with you.
It's such a pleasure to hear from you and to get your perspective, because you're living in one of the countries that borders Ukraine, where, of course, conflict is underway right now. And it's just such a time of uncertainty. And I think it's really unsettling watching on from a distance and not knowing exactly what to do. So first of all, David, you and your family are there doing ministry. You've been in the country for a while now. What is it that you guys are doing over there?
Yeah, so I'm from the UK. My wife, Hannah, is from Germany. We've got four children, and we moved to Hungary 5.5 years ago, and we started a Christian mission organization here, and we have been traveling around preaching the gospel, praying for people, teaching and equipping leaders all over Europe for the last 5.5 years.
So what originally made you decide to go to Hungary? Because that's a big move, especially with, you know, four kids, as you've said, and a different culture to be living in too.
Yeah, so I was just praying one day while we were in England, and I saw a vision of our family. We had two children at the time, and my wife was pregnant. I saw a vision of our family driving through mainland Europe. We call it mainland Europe because the UK is like an island, as you know. And I saw this vision three times in the space of 6 months. And it really got my attention. And I felt that God was calling us to leave the UK and come to this region. So we started to pray about it more. And eventually he led us to Hungary, which is right in the center of Europe. And of course, like you said, borders Ukraine.
To then find yourself there at a time where war is literally on your doorstep, that's got to be pretty shocking. When you first started to hear about Russia's intention to move into Ukraine and all of the conversation that circled around that about what that would mean for people, what were you feeling? What were you seeing then?
Well, I think at first, nobody really expected the invasion to happen on the scale that it has. I think many people expected that Russia might invade the eastern side of Ukraine, but we did not expect it to be a full-blown invasion, and we did not expect to so quickly see so many refugees coming across the border. Ukraine is quite a big country in Europe. It has about 44 million people. Hungary only has 10 million. And already we've had the second biggest intake of any country in Europe. So I think Poland has had over 1 million refugees come in the last 8 or 9 days. And we've had probably 200,000 by now.
Whoa. So what's Hungary doing to receive those refugees? Is there anything formal taking place?
Yeah, the response has been absolutely amazing all across Europe. The Hungarian government have put provisions in place to receive refugees. All of the churches and aid organizations are doing an incredible job at the border, at the train stations in our capital city of Budapest. Many families that we know personally have currently got refugees in their home. We have had 12 in our home in the last 8 days.
And what are some of their stories? Where have they fled from, and how are they feeling about having to leave their home country?
Most of the Ukrainian refugees that have come to us have come from either Kiev, the capital, or Lviv, which is on the west side of Ukraine. The difficult thing at the moment is that men between the ages of 18 and 60 are not allowed to leave the country. The leaders of Ukraine want them to help with the fighting. Not all of them want to do that. Many of them have tried to cross the border out of Ukraine but have not been allowed to do so. So most of the refugees that are arriving here are women and children. We had a group of 9 arrive just 3 days ago. 3 of them were women, and they had 6 children with them. And most of them are not wanting to stay in Hungary long term, which is good, actually, because Hungary is so small. We can be a great place to receive them, let them rest, give them food, and then send them on to other parts of Europe. So that group of 9 left about 2 hours ago from my house. Some American missionaries from Slovenia came all the way to our house to pick them up this morning.
Wow.
And they are heading to Italy, where one of them has a sister.
So how do the refugees get connected with you and other families where they are able to be housed, even if it is temporary?
Well, a lot of the missionaries, the Christian missionaries here in Hungary, are quite well travelled. We often teach and minister in different countries, so we have a lot of contacts and connections. All of the refugees that have come to me have come through personal contacts. We've got some friends from Germany at the moment who are on the Polish border. We have some of our friends here on the Hungarian border with Ukraine. And so we're all in contact constantly through messenger groups and through the local school here and prayer groups that happen. Everything is about the refugee crisis now. Almost everything else that we would normally be doing is on pause while we help the refugees. And the communities are coming together. I mean, I had a phone call a few nights ago from a friend in Romania, and he said, I've got 20 Ukrainians about to cross the border. You are the only contact I have in Hungary. Can you receive them tonight? And first thing I did was phone a few of the hotels in the city because they were opening their doors to refugees. I phoned Christian retreat centres that I knew. Everywhere was full. So we sent a message to our local community, some of the missionary families here. And within 2 hours, we had all of the mattresses, blankets, towels, clothes, food, everything that we needed for that group. In the end, that group didn't end up coming to us, but then we were ready a few days later when the 3 women and 6 children arrived.
And to just imagine that, I mean, your house is already pretty full as it is with you and your wife and your 4 kids, as we've heard about before, to then welcome 9 people, 6 of them children. What is dinner around the table like with that many people? And of course, in the situation you're finding yourselves in, what is that like?
Well, we're actually really fortunate because a few years ago, God really put it on my heart to renovate a building that used to be like a metal worker's workshop, which is directly behind our house. And so we started work on that and we got the inside of that finished about 2 years ago. And so we had 3 refugees actually in our house, 1 in our guest room and 1 in our daughter's bedroom. We moved her out of her bedroom. And then we put the other 9 into our ministry building, which is like an office building, but it has a very small kitchen and 2 showers. So that was great. So they were able to kind of look up after themselves and have everything they needed in there. But yesterday was actually my birthday, and so we invited everybody into our living room for a birthday party. We had to buy 3 cakes when we would only usually need 1, and we had to order 3 huge family-sized pizzas. So it kind of felt like a normal birthday party, but the people in the room we had only met in the last few days.
Wow, that's so special. And I imagine, like, the conversation, I'm just trying to picture you guys. You know, you take these families in. The situation's obviously quite an extreme one. What are you talking about, and how do your kids feel?
Well, our children are quite used to this kind of thing because of the way we live anyway. We live quite an extraordinary and unusual life as God leads us by his Spirit. But yesterday we were just kind of, the Ukrainian ladies really wanted to share with us what they do in Ukraine. One of them is a florist, flower arranger, and she does flowers for weddings. Another is an artist, and she was showing us her artwork and things like that. I think when they first arrived, they had a 20-hour journey. One of them has a small baby, and they just were so tired and worn out. And it was so nice to see, after they'd had some rest and some food, they were glowing and they were ready to talk about their lives. We talked about how they miss their husbands, and one of the little girls was really missing her dad, and she just sat on my lap and she just kept calling me Tata, which means daddy. And then we just said, look guys, we know you're leaving tomorrow morning, can we pray for you? And so we gathered around them and we just began to pray for them, and all of them, the mothers, were just in tears. I think just the trauma and the situation was just catching up with them emotionally, and they hadn't really had time to realize how much it had affected them emotionally. And I think so that prayer time was really helpful for them. But it was hard for me this morning, really, to see the children having to move on again after they'd just got used to this environment. They'd connected with me and my wife and our family, and now off they go again. It's a huge ordeal, I think, for every individual involved. And just we're just really just praying that they will be able to be reunited with their husbands, fathers and sons and that kind of thing.
It is such a time of uncertainty, and it's come off the back. I think one of the reasons people around the world feel so strongly about the trauma people are experiencing is because it's come off the back of a time where collectively around the globe, we've all shared in the uncertainty, the sadness, the loss of the COVID pandemic. And then to see people facing something like this, you just feel exhausted and so heartbroken, knowing that they're already tired, you know, and then they've got to kind of face this too. When you're talking to the refugees and the locals from Ukraine, do you get a sense that they feel like things are going to get better? Are they hopeful or are they quite despondent?
They're not despondent at all. I think there's a strong belief in among Ukrainians that they will overcome and that they will win this war. But I think for the mothers and the children, to be honest, we haven't really talked about that. They're so focused on getting their children to safety. Mm. And it's just such a long distance to travel, especially if you're not, you haven't got your own car. Most of them have left their cars in Ukraine, so their husbands have still got a car. So they're coming by train. They're having to change trains. They're having to get the trains get stopped and they have to get all their documents out. Some of them don't have passports. Some of them are not vaccinated, so that becomes an issue. There is just so much practically for them to think about. I actually think that once they get out of Ukraine, they're not thinking that much about exactly what's going to happen. They're just thinking, I just can't wait to be reunited with my husband. And, you know, whether it's an older son, one family came, it was a big family, and they had an 18-year-old son, and they were all able to leave Ukraine except the 18-year-old son. And that must have been so difficult for the parents to leave him behind. You know, that's the kind of thing they're thinking about in the kind of immediate future. What's going to happen to my son, you know?
Yeah, it's that day-to-day and that immediate kind of stuff. So, David, I want to ask you then, how can we be praying for these people and also be praying for you and other families like yourself who are trying to receive people? And I'm sure from a sort of bigger picture as a country, you know, Hungary could potentially be at risk, and you don't know what's around the corner for anyone. So how can we be praying for you guys, and how can we be praying for the refugees and the current situation?
Well, I think really the most important thing to remember is that Jesus did say, in this world, you will have trouble. And he didn't say that we would find peace in the circumstances. He said, in me, that you will find peace. And I think really just be praying for us that we can find that peace in him and what he's done. I'm reminded that it says in the Bible that the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Mm. So there's peace available to everybody in this situation, whether you're helping refugees, whether you're praying for the war, whether you're in Ukraine right now, whether you have family members there. There is peace available, but it's not in the circumstances. So if the people of Australia are praying, please just pray that people here would have a revelation of that peace, that we could be living and walking in a peace that passes understanding and surpasses the circumstances. And then just to be praying for the practicalities. There is a lot of help on the ground, which is wonderful. But of course, as the days go on, people get tired. And so for more people to help and to start taking turns and to use wisdom in when to rest and when to go and things like that. Mm. And just to be praying for the women and the children. And I think even more so the ones who are trapped right now in cities that are surrounded by Russian military. Let's really be praying that water and supplies can get to those people. It's terrible to hear President Zelensky say that there are children who died of dehydration in the past few days. I just think that is just an awful situation. And I think the more we can be praying, the better. That there is a lot of help. I would say if you're thinking about how you can help practically, think about maybe sending money rather than items, because it probably costs so much more money to transport the items to Ukraine. And the reality is all of the countries bordering Ukraine are not at war. Mm. It's very easy for us to get food, water, supplies, anything that we need. It's very easy for us to purchase those things here. and obviously take that to the border or use that to help host refugees here.
And getting behind the organisations who are helping you guys do that, which I'll mention for our listeners here, there's a lot of these details on our website too of people you can get behind, is a really helpful thing to do. So, David, again, thank you so much for everything that you, your family and others like you are doing, and also as best you can, pass on our regards and our care, our prayers for all of those refugees you're encountering as well. We really appreciate what you're doing and your time today.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.